Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Atlanta is Vanessa Matthews. Vanessa is the founder and chief resilience officer for Asphalus Advisors, and today we're going to be talking about resiliency. Vanessa, first, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Absolutely. Thank you, Adam.
Very glad to have you. First, I think it would be good if you defined business resiliency. What does it really mean in practice?
So, great question. I come from a background of sports. So, to me, business resiliency is almost equivalent to the game of basketball. When you throw a basketball with air on a gym floor, what happens? It bounces right back up. If you throw a ball that's flat with no air, it will not bounce. And so essentially, business resiliency is just like that basketball. You want your business to be able to absorb the impact and bounce back immediately. And your ability to do that are the capabilities, the processes, the systems, and the people that you need in the company to help you to achieve that goal.
That's a great analogy. I think it's one that all of us can certainly relate to it. Now, there are a wide range of catastrophic events that organizations face, from natural disasters to the CEO charged with harassment to a sales executive caught paying a bribe. Is each one truly unique, or are there common steps that organizations can go through and start anticipating now so that they're better prepared when things go bad? Or to put it in your terms, be better prepared to bounce back?
So another great question. So in our line of work, we do a lot of work specifically in crisis management and business continuity. And our ultimate goal is to help our clients to achieve resiliency. So I feel like some of the examples that you just pulled out are sometimes some of the phone calls that we receive. And so to your point, the first thing I think that's important to understand is what is a crisis? So a crisis is something that has the ability to impact your reputation, your profitability, or your operations. And sometimes your crisis can be one of three of those things, two of three, or all three. It just depends on what the incident is. And so to your examples, one issue or one crisis may require a different response. But in general, we follow the identify, assess, manage, and monitor approach. So no matter what the crisis is, no matter what industry, you first have to be able to identify, how do you know if you're in a crisis or not? What are the leading indicators that you have set up for your business? Once you've identified that, then how do you assess it? What's the scope? What's the scale? What's the consequence? How long might you be on national frontline news? And what level of risk is the organization willing to take? Once you assess it, we do what we call a go, no-go strategy. So do you activate your crisis management team or not? And you need to have steps or a checklist in place to help you determine that. Once you decide to activate your team, you're in the management phase. And depending on your organization and how you're structured, you might be managing from a local level, a regional level, state, national, or global. And after you manage, you go into monitoring. So what are the systems, the processes, and what data do you have access to help you monitor the crisis events that might be unfolding? Because in one particular region, there might be 4 to 5 crises that your company is experiencing. So for us, identify, assess, manage, and monitor can help any company.
Now, given our audience, I want to focus a bit on the kind of disasters that they face, which are more legal and regulatory. Are there any special considerations for incidents in this area, or do they follow the same process that you just outlined?
So, great question. So, one key word that I think is important is preparedness. And it's about the effort and the energy that you put into your program prior to. So, for folks who are, thinking about legal and regulatory risk, there are risks that can bubble up into a crisis for healthcare organizations. And some of those, number one, start with your adequate resources. Do you have the resources that you need to truly run your program? Is your senior leadership team involved? Do you have an investment in training and development? When budgets start to get cut, training and development is the first thing to go, but that's the one thing that you need to prepare your people. Do you have investigations, and is there a discipline behind those investigations? Number two, the evolution. Is your program growing? Do you have ongoing risk assessments, access to data? Are you focused internally or externally as you think about the evolution of your compliance programs? How are you tracking your policies and your training? Are they published? Does everyone have access to it? How do you measure the behavior of your workforce and how they're evolving or changing with the investments that you're providing through training and development? A really big one that we also see is managing third-party risks. So specific to healthcare organizations, many organizations face risks from vendors providing medical equipment, especially in radiology and cardiology systems. And because of that software and how it runs through the organization, healthcare companies typically do not control the software or its security. So the big question is do you have an effective vendor management system? How is the organization assessing third-party risks from your vendors? And lastly, what I'll share is just the culture of compliance. So even in our company, as an entrepreneur, we have to be focused on culture. And culture is not one person's responsibility, it's everyone's. And so how do you truly know what the culture of your compliance program is within the healthcare organization? And more importantly, how do you continue to build out more people to get the buy-in that you need to make it successful? And so these are a few things that I think are important because one, you also have a big regulator, the Department of Justice, right? And these are things that they're looking for when they come in to evaluate the status of your program. And so missing one of these things could create a crisis for the compliance teams.
Yes, it very well could, you know, not just for healthcare companies. In fact, any company facing a dysfunctional culture is certainly challenged to a profound degree. Now, are there any common mistakes that you see organizations make either in planning or after an incident occurs?
Yes, yes, and yes. So number one, I think the biggest challenge I see is we are a reactive group of people. We typically don't make the investments in preparedness, but we make it once the crisis hits. And that number one will cost a company tons, you know, whether it's tangible or intangible. The second thing I see is always communication. And it's important that you have communication with your regulatory bodies, your third-party stakeholders, the healthcare organizational leadership, your board, your employees, your patients, and your visitors, and the community, because you support the overall community. And so that internal communication and external communication is vital. However, in a crisis, if you think about 9/11 to COVID-19 to the Oklahoma City bombings, and every single crisis documented is always an issue of communication. We don't do it well enough. And the third thing that I would say is that's typically an issue, it comes after the fact. We don't take the time to document the root cause for why we're in the crisis that we're in. Sometimes the crisis is external and something that we cannot control. But sometimes we self-inflict crises on our companies and on our people. And what I often see is organizations don't take the time to actually write down and think about what caused us to get here. And then more importantly, what actions are we going to take? Who's going to own it? Who's going to hold them accountable? And what's the deadline that we're going to have to implement this so that we don't learn the same mistake twice?
And frankly, the only thing more expensive than a crisis is one that is repeated unnecessarily. Now, finally, getting through a crisis is a team effort. Who should be on your team and how do you get them to see the importance of joining it?
Great question. So, and it's actually good because everybody does not need to be on the crisis management team. And sometimes when you're in a company with a lot of stakeholders, you really have to help dial that back. And so we always recommend there has to be someone from executive leadership who is on your crisis management team. And that might be the CEO and maybe two or three of the folks that report to that level. And then secondarily, I would recommend a crisis support team. And on that crisis support team are your senior vice presidents or your vice presidents, depending on how the company is structured. And there you really want to make sure you have, if you're in a healthcare organization, you want someone that's coming from the medical side. You may want someone coming from nursing, legal, HR, compliance, brand and reputation, IT, and emergency management are going to be key roles. And the reason why this is important is because you need people who understand the holistic aspect of the business. What I'll also share is your crisis management team and the crisis management program should really be built around the organization's core values. What's the purpose of the company? Why are we here? Who are we here to serve? In healthcare, most entities are focused on patient safety. That's the number one priority. So your crises need to be managed in such a way to effectively enable the organization to continue to provide a safe environment for their patients. But some other reasons why you may build a program and get buy-in, one might be to minimize operational risks. Two might be reputation management. Three might be staff safety, right? Or four might be the preservation of a critical community resource like a hospital, because it's so key to the critical infrastructure in our country.
That it is, especially these days. Well, Vanessa, thank you for sharing these insights with us. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.